Athaliah's Reign and Fall, in Chapter 103, 2 Kings 8, 9, 2 Chronicles 22. The temple of the Lord, which was built by Solomon to the honor of Israel's God, stands prominently above every building in the city of Jerusalem. Formerly, a pleasant bustle prevailed at this place. The Israelites came there to bring their offerings, while many priests, Levites, walked in their white clothing performing their work. In times past, the Psalms of David were sung by the singers in this building. Now all is quiet and deathlike. No longer do the priests and Levites walk there. No singing is heard, and the large doors of the Lord's house are locked. Another temple has been built in a different part of Jerusalem. It is a temple for Baal. It is very busy at this place. Many priests are walking about. However, they are not the priests of the Lord, but they are priests of Baal. Many Israelites bring their offerings there. What happens to the worship of God? It is forgotten. We told you in the former chapter how Jehoram died. The people made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king. The new king is not a competent sovereign, but his mother Athaliah will help him. She will give him advice, but it is poor and wrong advice. His mother urges him to worship Baal, and Ahaziah obeys. When Ahaziah had reigned as king 1 year, he was slain. Slain? By whom? Listen attentively. One day Ahaziah goes on a journey. He rides in his chariot toward the north to Jezreel, the summer palace of the king of Israel. What will he do there? His uncle, Joram, who reigns over Israel at this time, has been wounded. He fought against the forces of Hazael, the king of Syria, who have wounded him severely. Joram has gone to Jezreel to recover from his wounds. Ahaziah visits his uncle. He will go to see if he is recovering. While he is in Jezreel, he and his uncle Joram are killed by Jehu. They bring his corpse to Jerusalem, where they bury him. That is why Ahaziah reigned just 1 year. The king is dead. Who must be his successor? Ahaziah has children, but they are too young to reign. Neither does Ahaziah have any brothers living. They all were slain by the Arabians and the Philistines. You remember that, don't you? We told you that in our former chapter. At this time, there is no one who can reign in Ahaziah's place. No one is capable of wearing the crown. Now what? Something dreadful happens. Be sure to pay attention. Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, slays all the children of the royal family. She murders all her grandchildren. Upon the command of their own grandmother, they are put to death. Isn't that terrible? Not only the children of Ahaziah, but all the relatives of the royal family are slain upon her command. That is cruel, fiendish. Her purpose is not to leave one of the house of David alive. The entire family must be wiped out. Children, the Lord had promised David that the Lord Jesus should come forth from his descendants. The devil made an effort to prevent this. He used Athaliah to try if it were possible to destroy the work of God. Oh, if Satan could stop the fulfillment of God's promises, if the Lord Jesus would not come upon this earth, the devil would be victorious. Then he would be stronger than God. I just wrote that all the children of Ahaziah were slain. Everyone? Did the devil win? No, he didn't. For look over there. See that woman hastily leaving the royal palace. She is running as fast as she can. She carries something very carefully and cautiously. Stealthily, she looks around to see if anyone notices her. Oh, if anyone should see her, and if she is discovered, then... Who is this woman? She is Jehosheba, a daughter of Jehoram, the wicked king of Judah. She is a half-sister of Ahaziah. She is a daughter of Jehoram, but not a daughter of Athaliah. What is she carrying? A child. A very young child. When Athaliah gave the terrible command to kill all her grandchildren, it was possible for Jehosheba to secretly take from among all these princes a little boy. She flees to her home with this little boy. Jehosheba is married to Jehoiada the high priest. Therefore they lived near the temple. When she arrives home, she hides the little prince in one of the chambers built on the side of the temple. He is safe there. Athaliah will not look for him in this place. Athaliah thinks every son of Ahaziah is dead. She is mistaken. One prince still is alive. He is the little Joash, also spelled Jehoash, who was rescued by his aunt Jehosheba. Athaliah does not know this, which is a very good thing. The Lord Jesus must come forth from the descendants of David, shouldn't he? God promised this. For this reason, the family of David could not be completely wiped out. Otherwise, the promises of God would not be fulfilled. And this is impossible. God would take care that this would never happen. The devil will not be the victor. Oh no, he never will be victorious. God shall obtain the victory. Now, Athaliah thinks as she laughs falsely, now I am the sovereign, I am the queen, and I can do as I please. For 6 years she reigned over Judah and Benjamin. During these 6 years she did her utmost to set up more and more the worship of Baal. This was a sad time. The worship of the Lord was forsaken, and the temple, the house of God, was closed. Yes, even while her husband Jehoram was still alive, her sons broke into the house of the Lord and robbed the temple. These ungodly young men took all the plates and cups of gold and brought them to the temple of Baal to be used there. This narrative you can read in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 7. Oh, if the God-fearing Jehoshaphat had known this, he surely would have grieved about it. These things were the dreadful consequences of his friendship with the family of Ahab. One day a great multitude of people gather in the closed outer court of the Lord's temple. Their faces are serious, and they speak to each other with hushed voices. No noise may reach the outside. We can notice that something unusual is about to take place. Who are all these people, and what are they going to do? Why do the big doors remain closed? Why do they speak so softly? The royal palace stands near the temple, and in that palace lives the wicked Queen Athaliah. By no means is she allowed to know what is going on in the temple. If she knew about it, all these people would be cruelly murdered without mercy. What these men are doing is at the risk of their lives. Who are all these people? They are the Levites and the priests from the entire kingdom. The most distinguished Israelites are also with them. The God-fearing Jehoiada called them together. He did this as secretly as possible, and they have come. Now they are waiting. Suddenly it becomes quiet. Every eye is turned toward the high priest. He speaks. Let us also listen to what he says. It has been 6 years since Athaliah gave that horrible command to murder her grandchildren. He tells them how his wife, Jehosheba, saved one of the children, and how this child was hidden for 6 years in one of the chambers of the Lord's house. This child has grown to a youth of 7 years. He informs them that he considers this to be the proper time to make an end to the wicked reign of Athaliah. But, he continues, I must have your support. I must be able to trust you completely. He makes all these people swear with an oath that they will not betray this fact to Athaliah or to any of her friends. He demands this oath from them. Everyone swears, solemnly promising Jehoiada they will help him. Their eyes glitter with determined courage. Jehoiada makes a covenant with them in the courts of the house of the Lord. He talks with them about the plans he has made. He leaves them for a moment, but soon returns, leading a young boy by the hand. This boy is Joash, the only remaining son of the king. Many are filled with emotion when they see this child. During all these years, they thought all the king's sons had been murdered. They thought there never again would be a son of the family of David sitting upon the throne. That would be impossible. And look, a prince did escape the horrible massacre. A prince is alive and stands with Jehoiada. Their eyes shine with gladness. Their hearts throb with happiness. Woe to the person who would attempt to harm that child. Jehoiada sees their emotion and happiness. He smiles. Ah, he can trust these men. These men will, if it is necessary, defend this youth with the courage of lions, even if it should cost them their lives. Listen, Jehoiada continues. He quickly gives everyone his orders. The young king will be crowned, and they must protect him. Enthusiastically, they do everything Jehoiada commands them to do. Soon, all things are ready for the coronation. Weapons such as swords, spears, and shields are handed out. Long ago, David stored these weapons in the temple, and now they are put to use. When everything is ready, the doors of God's house are opened. Everyone hastens to the place which has been appointed to them. The gates are strongly guarded. No one can force himself into the temple unexpectedly. The young Joash is anointed openly by Jehoiada and his sons. It is an affecting moment. The crown is placed upon his head, and the book of the law of the Lord is given into his hand, which means that he must reign according to the laws and institutions of the Lord, which are recorded in that book. As soon as this has been accomplished, the jubilating cry bursts loose, God save the king! They clap their hands with joy, and the sound of trumpets rings out. The inhabitants of Jerusalem come running inquisitively. When they hear and see what is taking place, they too rejoice with them. Everywhere there is joy and gladness. Athaliah, the queen, is sitting in her palace. She also hears this noise as she leaves her palace in haste and quickly goes to the temple, for this sound comes from that direction. When she arrives there, her eyes grow large in astonishment, but also in violent fright. She turns pale. She sees a child with the kingly crown upon his head. She also sees the priests and Levites and the glad and excited people who shout for joy and jump from gladness. She immediately understands what has taken place. Her mastery is at an end. Her heinous plan is a failure. She rends her clothing and cries roughly, "Treason! Treason!" No one listens to her nor helps her. She stands alone. This greatly feared monarch, before whom everyone had trembled, suddenly lost her power. The only thing she sees is hostile glances. A short but powerful command is heard. A few men run toward her and hold her in their grasp. They drag her away outside the temple. Jehoiada does not want her to be slain in the temple. She is struck down near her own palace. No one sympathizes with her, nor does anyone try to deliver her. This is the dreadful end of the wicked queen, Athaliah, the murderess of her own grandchildren. No, Athaliah, not you, but God reigns, and he is an avenger of sin. After the queen is dead, Jehoiada the high priest makes a covenant between the Lord and the people and the king. In procession, they all go to the royal palace, and the youthful Joash is set upon the throne. Afterward, they hasten to the idol temple of Baal. Irresistibly, they force themselves into this building. They slay Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. The stone image is broken into pieces. The altars are thoroughly destroyed. Yes, the entire temple of Baal is completely broken down and smashed to pieces. The horrible idol worship is eliminated. However, the doors of the house of the Lord, which were closed for so long a time, remain open. Jehoiada regulates everything. The priests and Levites again walk about in their white clothing. The lamps of the golden candlesticks in the holy place are lit. The fire on the large altar of burnt offerings flames, and the singers sing loudly the Psalms of David to the honor of God. A great change has taken place this day. This day is a feast day for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Gladness and rejoicing prevail in most every home. Oh, no one thought this would happen. A king reigns over them again, a king from the old and beloved family of David. Many prayers of thanks ascend to their heavenly king, to the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. The Lord delivered them from the cruel tyranny of the wicked Athaliah, and he only should receive all the honor, praise, and thanksgiving for this deliverance.